You are about to hear Ideas and Opinions by Albert Einstein, narrated by Will Stoff. Part 1. Ideas and Opinions. Paradise Lost. Written shortly after the establishment in 1919 of the League of Nations and first published in French. Also published in Mein Weltbild, Amsterdam, Garrido Verlag, 1934. As late as the 17th century, the savants and artists of all Europe were so closely united by the bond of a common ideal that cooperation between them was scarcely affected by political events. This unity was further strengthened by the general use of the Latin language. Today, we look back at this state of affairs as at a lost paradise. The passions of nationalism have destroyed this community of the intellect, and the Latin language, which once united the whole world, is dead. The men of learning have become representatives of the most extreme national traditions and lost their sense of an intellectual commonwealth. Nowadays, we are faced with the dismaying fact that the politicians, the practical men of affairs, have become the exponents of international ideas. It is they who have created the League of Nations. My first impressions of the USA. An interview for Nivu Rotterdam's Courant, 1921, appeared in Berliner Tageblatt, July 7, 1921. I must redeem my promise to say something about my impressions of this country. This is not altogether easy for me, for it is not easy to take up the attitude of impartial observer when one is received with such kindness and undeserved respect as I have been in America. First of all, let me say something on this score. The cult of individuals is always, in my view, unjustified. To be sure, nature distributes her gifts unevenly among her children, but they are plenty of the well-endowed, thank God, and I am firmly convinced that most of them live quiet, unobtrusive lives. It strikes me as unfair, and even in bad taste, to select a few of them for boundless admiration, attributing superhuman powers of mind and character to them. This has been my fate, and the contrast between the popular estimate of my powers and achievements and the reality is simply grotesque. The awareness of this strange state of affairs would be unbearable, but for one pleasing consolation. It is a welcome symptom in an age which is commonly denounced as materialistic, that it makes heroes of men whose goals lie wholly in the intellectual and moral sphere. This proves that knowledge and justice are ranked above wealth and power by a large section of the human race. My experience teaches me that this idealistic outlook is particularly prevalent in America, which is decried as a singularly materialistic country. After this digression, I come to my proper theme, in the hope that no more weight will be attached to my modest remarks than they deserve. What first strikes the visitor with amazement is the superiority of this country in matters of technology and organization. Objects of everyday use are more solid than in Europe. Houses much more practically designed. Everything is designed to save human labor. Labor is expensive because the country is sparsely inhabited in comparison with its natural resources. The high price of labor was the stimulus which evoked the marvelous development of technical devices and methods of work. The opposite extreme is illustrated by overpopulated China or India, where the low price of labor has stood in the way of the development of machinery. Europe is halfway between the two. Once the machine is sufficiently highly developed, it becomes cheaper in the end than the cheapest labor. Let the fascists in Europe, who desire, on narrow-minded political grounds, to see their own particular countries more densely populated, take heed of this. However, the anxious care with which the United States keep out foreign goods by means of prohibitive tariffs certainly contrasts oddly with the general picture. But an innocent visitor must not be expected to rack his brains too much, and when all is said and done, it is not absolutely certain that every question admits of a rational answer. The second thing that strikes a visitor is the joyous, positive attitude to life. The smile on the faces of the people in photographs is symbolical of one of the greatest assets of the American. He is friendly, self-confident, optimistic, and without envy. The European finds intercourse with Americans easy and agreeable. Compared with the American, the European is more...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?